Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. This is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 226. It's the week of May 10th, 2016. It's my birthday week, and I'm 47 years young this week, which is kind of hard to believe I made it that far, but anyway, I'm still around. I'll be at least for another year, I'm sure. Anyway, all kidding aside, thanks for downloading the show. Appreciate you coming back if you're a returning listener, and if you're a new listener, I hope you enjoy the show. I've got kind of a race recap from the Ashland Railroad Run, which was on April 29th here in the center of the universe. It's a 10K and a 5K and a kids run event. And then I'll have an interview with Ashland Tom towards the end of the show. It's a kind of a run interview. We ran together this past weekend. He's kind of my regular Saturday running partner. Sometimes Ashland Brian shows up or Ashland Bob. But Tom and I usually are the ones out there doing the longer stuff because one of us is usually training for something kind of silly. And he's training for a 100-miler, which is going to be in September up in Pennsylvania. So I have offered to assist him as much as I can on the weekends with some of the long runs. And so I'm doing about half of what he does. So he'll get out early, and then I'll drive up and meet him, and he'll run up, and we'll continue on and finish up. And so we'll talk more about obviously I'm going to be talking with him later in the show, in the interview portion. And that's kind of a bonus because I interviewed him back in episode 12. He's done 48 marathons now, but back in episode 12 he had not done 48. So I'm going to post that at ashlanddave.podbean.com as well. And if you've never listened to an episode going back that far, you'll see a big difference between episode 12 and episode 226. And I didn't skip any numbers in between. That's 12 episodes and 226 episodes. You'll see that I've definitely streamlined the podcast quite a bit and hopefully improved the quality. I would like to think I improved the quality. I think I did. I certainly made the shows longer, and I think they maybe flow a little bit better, but we'll see. So let's talk a little bit about the Ashland Railroad Run. Like I said, it was on April 29th, 2016, right here in Ashland. Close enough where I can walk to it, so that's why it's pretty cool, because we live right in the downtown area, or just a couple blocks away. This was the 38th year of this race, and it is one of the longest running, I like the pun, longest running 10Ks in the Richmond area. There's one that I think is at its 40th year or 40 plus years called the Stratford Hills 10K. That's down in the city of Richmond. But the Ashland Railroad Run is just a long-standing tradition here in town. It's kind of a, once the railroad run happens, that's, you know, spring has sprung, so to speak. And if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me talk about this race. I directed it for several years, last year being 2014, and just really, really like it. I mean, it's just a cool, it's cool to bring all these people up to our small town and have them run through the neighborhoods and run along the railroad tracks. And this year was no exception. I was delighted to be asked to be the starter of all three races, which I did. And that was really all I did. I wasn't really any more involved. I retired from race directing definitely because it is just so much work. But we did have some notable times that I wanted to mention because some of the regular characters that appear on the show, or at least are talked about on the podcast, did the race. I guess most notably being from out of town, Dr. Smitty. He ran both the 5K and the 10K, which is called the Center of the Universe Challenge, and I'll get to that in a minute. He ran the 5K in an incredible 20 minutes, 57 seconds, with the winning time being 17:43. And then he came in 13th place in the 10K with a finishing time of 44 minutes, 55 seconds. The winning time being 37 minutes, 22 seconds. And the same guy actually won the 5K and the 10K, 45-year-old Robert Denterman out of Moyock, North Carolina. And I think Dr. Smitty said he was familiar with him because Moyock, North Carolina, is really not that far from Chesapeake. Ashland Tom placed 8th in the Center of the Universe Challenge. Dr. Smitty placed 3rd. And we had several hundred people come up for these events. And it was just, like I said, just a delight to be asked to come out there and participate and help out since I've been involved with the race before. All right, I do have some bad news about one of the races I was planning to do this late summer, fall. I was hoping to train and then run, or at least toe the starting line at the Bellmead 50, also known as the Bellmead Trail Fest. A couple weeks ago, maybe last week, there was an article in the local newspaper, Richmond paper, about the property that the Bellmead Estate is on, which is on the James River in Powhatan County. It's on, I think, about 2,200 acres, which is, I think that's about 3 square miles. And it's a 10-mile loop going through this properties for this trail, which is where the ultra was. And apparently the property is going to be sold. And so the race directors have decided not to hold the race this year. And pretty much that means it's going to go, you know, it's not going to happen. Now, the Virginia Capitol Trail between Williamsburg and Richmond, which is, I think, 50.3 miles, has now been completed. And there's word around that there's probably going to be an ultra marathon on that, which would be really cool because that's a recreational path that goes between the two cities. And I think it's asphalt and then some cinders in some areas. And that would be really a no-brainer to have an ultra marathon on that. So I'm going to be listening out for that. I had such a good experience in May that I really wanted to do another one, and the Bellmead kind of was at the right time because I'm going to be pretty seriously distance trained with Tom as well as heat trained if I'm going to be continuing to run with him through the summer while he prepares for his 100-miler. So there's just some things I got to decide. I know Lummox up in Maryland was looking at a 50 this fall, and since I was so focused on the Bellmead, I was not really paying too much attention when he was talking about the one he was interested in. So I'll have to rethink all that, and I'll be talking about that in future podcasts, of course. All right, well, we do have the email bag section of the show for after the interview with Ashley and Tom. So stick around for that because the email bag section of the show always brings up new topics when people write in. There's always plenty of tangents to go off on, plenty of product for you to listen to. Here in the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. So let's get to the interview with Ashley and Tom, and then we'll check in after that.
All right, I'm here with Ashley and Tom, and we're doing, he's doing 22, I'm doing 12. He started out, did 10, and then I joined him at 7 this morning, and we'll do 12 together. We'll have 22, and you're doing how many tomorrow?
12.
12. So Tom is training for the Pine Creek Challenge, which is a 100-mile ultramarathon up in Pennsylvania, in what area called the Grand Canyon of the East.
Yeah.
Something like that. And it's along Pine Creek, which is more like a river, I guess.
Yeah.
And so pretty much Tom's training for the 100 miles is pretty much the most exciting thing we got going on right now in the center of the universe. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about his training as we go along here and finish up some miles. So today's pretty much the first day of 10 where it's not raining and everything's flooded. We already ran through some puddles and got a full soak on our shoes. So Tom, why don't you talk a little bit about why you chose that race and how you got to where you're at right now.
Well, it's flat.
It's right on that side.
They advertise a 2% grade is the steepest you'll hit. So that was appealing. And then also a 30-hour cutoff. So it starts at 6 o'clock on Saturday and ends at 12 noon on Sunday. And so I figured if 30 hours, I could probably make that. I'm hoping for 24.
All right, why don't you recap a little bit of some of your marathoning history and ultra history, just to give the listeners some perspective on why you're trying a 100-miler.
Well, I've done 48 marathons and ultra marathons.
Oh, gosh, I didn't know it was that many.
And, I think I've gotten 4 or 5 50-milers and 100K, which about killed me. And I'm 53 years old, so not getting any younger. I figure it's either now or never.
And what were you saying? You had a motto you were telling me earlier today?
Yeah, not today. Because I'll have to quit running one day, but hopefully not today. and that's going to be my motto on race day. And I can quit after I make the 100 mile.
So what, just summarize a little bit of your training to date. That race is not till second weekend of September.
So
that's 3 months from now or so.
I just went on the internet and searched 100 mile training plan. And I think the first one that popped up was from Trail Runner.
And let's go left here.
When you click on the link, it takes you to ultraladies.com. And I thought, and I read the kind of the description, but really it was the first one I came to. And
that was close.
And I was looking, actually started looking for a training plan like in December. And this was a good long training plan, half a year, 26 weeks. So I said, well, that sounds good. So I figured out where my start date needed to be, which I think was sometime in March or February. And so this is my 8th week of training. And so far I've only missed one run. Basically it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, kind of shorter runs, and then double long runs on the weekend, and you drop back every 4 weeks. So next week I'll have a drop back week. That's nice.
That'll be nice, because that's right after my happy hour. All right, so how you do? What are your rest days?
So Monday and Friday, don't do anything. Look forward to those days.
Yeah. Now, are you doing anything to supplement the running, like any speed work, or are you just doing the distance just for the mileage?
Yeah, pretty much mileage. That's all. I've come to terms with my speed days have gone. I mean, it's a pretty good stretch for me to run a 4:15 marathon in pace group. And I don't think I want to go any faster than that.
Well, what's your personal best in the marathon? Because I know you run Boston a few times as a qualifier.
So, my best marathon is the B&A with you that year.
Oh, how's the AU qualified?
That was 328 something. And then when I went to Boston, I actually ran a 329. So, I just had a really good day. I don't know where it was.
So. Isn't that hard to do up there because of all the people?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was. I was just feeling good that day, and I had no intention of running fast. I got to the halfway point, and I'm like, holy crap, I'm on pace to run a 3:30 marathon. So then it was like, got a little more serious.
What year was that?
Let's see. That's 2009. I'm wearing the shirt.
Oh, you got the shirt on today. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the ultra distance. Some of this stuff I already know, but for the benefit of the folks that listen, you're one of the regular characters that are mentioned on the podcast. So I thought it'd be cool for some of the awesome listeners out there to learn a bit more about you. So when was your first ultra, and what was the whole reason that you did that?
Well, I had this crazy friend who decided marathons weren't enough. And he said, we need to run an ultra. In fact, I need to run 40 miles for my birthday. So, of course, I'm talking about you. And so our first ultra was kind of a training run, I think, for a strolling gym, which is going to be your 40 mile. And, man, it was -2 at the start.
Yeah, I remember. That's Fahrenheit, -2 Fahrenheit, and, which is kind of unheard of in Virginia, right?
Yeah. And then we roll around the strolling gym, our second ultra marathon, 40 miler. We had no idea that Gary Cantrell was a crazy guy, first of all. He was the race director. And, of course, it poured down rain for the first 5 miles. I thought our luck with ultras is not very good. The bridge washed out, it actually turned out to be, like 42 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't that the the day when they had to detour it, and our crew, Brian, didn't really know how far it was going to be after it was all said and done. So you did that. What was the next one?
God, it's hard with you.
No, I think you did a 50 miler in there somewhere.
Maybe I did.
Mountain Masses?
No, I think you did Bull Run Run. No. I maybe did Mount Mascus, and I learned a valuable lesson that day. You don't live in the mountains and train in the mountains. You shouldn't do a race called the Mount Mascus.
Yeah, but didn't you go back and do it again?
No.
Oh, no, that was Bull Run Run.
Yeah. Then Bull Run Run is actually one of my favorite races. 50 miles in Clifton, Virginia. And a lot of nice people. A lot of Civil War history in that race. And the best thing is great food at the finish.
For everybody that shows up.
For everybody.
And that's if you can get a damn parking spot. Because it's right across from a winery, the finish line.
Yeah.
I don't think the winery liked all that race traffic. I almost did a walk break. That'll feel good, won't it? Well, it's pretty sad that you can't remember all those races, but I understand.
When did we do North Face?
All right, let's walk. Was that 2010? June of 2010 or 11? I remember it was June.
That might have been our third one.
Well, how could I ever forget that? Yeah. More, I don't remember the date, but I remember not having feet for 2 weeks. All right, so what? Why the 100 miler? Go into that a little bit more.
Kind of always, you know, it's kind of the ultimate, ultra marathon, you know, run 100 miles. I like the responses I get from people when you tell them you're gonna do it. They're like, what? What do you eat? Do you eat? Do you walk any? I'm like, yeah, you walk a lot. So it's kind of neat, and I've always kind of, when I started doing ultras, I always thought I'd do 100 one day, and this one seems like a perfect fit for me because it's not a lot of hills in Ashland to run.
Right.
You have to drive out to the mountains to train for a lot of 100 milers, and this one being flat and easy crew support, you know, I think there's 5 or 6 aid stations, and all but one crew can get there. So,
yeah, you've done a lot of work on the logistics, haven't you? Where,
yeah,
it's like come out and back loops.
Yeah, so it's basically a short out and back, and then a long out and back, and you do them both twice.
So you'll see other runners, which is nice. Yeah.
They have 100K too. It starts an hour later.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Do they have a 50 mile or not?
No, it's just the 2 races, 100 miles, 100K.
So how far is that from Ashland Drive?
I think it's about 5 hours. It's at a town called Wellsboro. And I don't think it's very, very populated. It's kind of, there's national forest around there. And it's just kind of a wilderness area.
Well, gosh, where are you going to get your coffee then?
I don't know. I imagine they're going to have a coffee shop somewhere. Probably Starbucks, but.
Or a coffee maker in the cabin,
yeah,
that you're going to rent and bring it out to you in a thermos. Now, will you drink coffee while you're running? Has that helped you in the past?
I've never had to run this long, so.
Oh, your 100K was not overnight, was it?
No, we started like at 5 in the morning. Poor Rodney and I finished about 9 o'clock at night. It was a long day.
And what was that? In Florida?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
What was that race called?
Palm 100, so it was a 100K. I was really, both Rodney and I were really well trained, but the race was in March, and so we'd been training all winter. We got down to Florida. Of course, it's, you know, 70 degrees and humid at the start, and it was probably my fault. we didn't adjust our pace based on the heat. And so...
Oh, somebody forcing y'all to run together?
No. No.
Said we.
Yeah. But probably about 15 miles from the finish, I just started feeling lightheaded. And I just got dehydrated.
All right, car up. All right, hang on a sec. Space.
And so my wife was screwing for me with Rodney's wife and my kids. And she could tell I wasn't doing good. And so she hopped out of the car. And we basically walked the last 14 miles in.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You and Jill?
Yeah.
Sounds like me and my 100K. Except I was with you. All right, so how long take you to run that?
Like 15 something. 15 or something like that.
That's pretty good. Now, how'd you feel when you finished? Do you feel like you could go another 38?
No. I was... So the guy, what's the guy's name?
Bob something.
Yeah.
So Bob. He's the same guy that does the keys.
Yeah.
100.
So he came over.
The little guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, super nice.
And looked at me. And he said, boy, he looks bad. And so he had a girl with him that was helping. And she came over with a big trash can and I just hurled everything.
Oh, boy.
And then, so I did finish in front of Rodney, but not by much. Maybe a half hour or so. So we had all our kids. Both Rodney's throwing up going down the road.
And he has a real wretched way of throwing up, doesn't he?
Yeah. I'm in the back eating McDonald's French fries trying to recover. And our wives are driving us from West Palm Beach to, Fort Lauderdale to, Disney World. So we drove all night pretty much. And,
so who was the genius who planned Disney World after 100K? Could that be you?
I think that's how we talked our wives.
Oh, yeah. Got it. Did you get a wheelchair?
No, actually. So we checked in. Gosh, it was probably like 3 or 4 in the morning. The girls got up with Rodney's son and went to Disney World all day. Rodney and I laid in bed.
Together?
Different bed.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe y'all were cuddling.
He called me about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He's like, you want to get something to eat? And I was like, yeah, I think I'm ready. That was a bad experience. So I'm hoping nothing like that.
Well, you know the old, you ever heard Jack Nicklaus, when he was interviewed about all those poor shots he made where he lost tournaments, he says, tells the interviewer he can't remember them. He said, I don't remember the bad ones, I just remember the good ones. So, so maybe you just want to remember those good 50 milers.
Yeah.
Instead of that bad 100K.
I think my best 50 miler ever is when after Bull Run, you and Rodney came up and crewed for me. You remember that?
Yeah.
A beautiful day.
Oh, gosh. Was that the same year the guy was hurling in the trash can and ended up beating you?
Yeah. That was funny. So.
And he was hurling close to the aid station. So they, and it was kind of coming out a couple feet from his mouth.
Yeah.
I think they moved the trash can away or something.
Yeah, so there's a huge hill about, I don't know, a mile from the finish of Golden Run. So I'm running along, feeling pretty good, you know, it's going to be my best time ever. And here the hurling guy comes past me on the hill like he just started out. I'm like, weren't you the guy just throwing up? And he said, puke every cup, puke every cup.
Yeah, he's fired up.
Yeah, he's probably, you know, half my age.
And you did that Bull Run again. That was the... Yeah. Didn't you get in again? That's a lottery race, isn't it?
Yeah. So I've done it 3 times. Right?
Oh, 3.
I think you've been up for 2 of them.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a haul from... Actually, once you get off the highway up in Northern Virginia, it's tucked in.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Oh, we got a car coming here. What do you do for nutrition?
I try to eat healthy, but no particular thing. I used to swear by Anthony's big spaghetti on Friday, but now I do Chipotle and some with beans.
Well, I mean, about like this morning, you're doing 22. So you did 10 before you got with me.
Yeah.
I think all I've seen you eat so far is a waffle.
Yeah.
Wafer or whatever.
Yeah, so the Stinger waffle sit well in my stomach. If a Stinger honey wafer or something.
Do they have any density to them?
A little bit. It's kind of like,
I got it.
It's kind of like if you took two thin waffles and put honey in between them and smushed them together.
What? That sounds good.
Yeah. I've gotten where I can do goos at the end of a run, but I try to do them from the start. I kind of mess with my stomach.
All right, so have you talked to any other 100-mile finishers for advice? I mean, you know Ralph. Yeah. And, of course, Sandy, who listens to my show. I don't think you've ever met her, but I can give you her email. She's done a lot. Or do you kind of want to figure it out on your own and... Well, succeed or fail on your own?
I've kind of been reading everybody's advice online.
Okay.
And I found this one guy that I think it was a link from Training for Homestead, the Homestead 100.
We're going to cross here in a sec. Okay.
And he gave a lot of good advice. One, the midweek runs are not really that important. So if you miss them, don't stress out.
All right, let's make a direct dash for it. Oh!
Good last you heard of Ashland Thomas. What was the other? Oh, you know, when you're at the aid stations, you know, you grab your food and walk. He said you won't believe how much time you sit there and eat at the aid stations, you know. And, the other thing I've been trying to work on is my walk speed. Because I'm going to be walking a lot. You know, if you can drop a minute in your walk time, walk miles per hour.
How have you been doing that? Like, are you practicing that right now as we walk, or are you doing that during the week?
During the week, like sometimes I'll go to the treadmill and just try to walk at a 15-minute pace.
Gotcha.
You know? And that's what he said. You know, if you can walk a 15-minute pace, that's not too far off your run time.
No, yeah? It's not. Not if you're just shuffling along at the end, right?
Yeah.
So. But sometimes it hurts more to walk.
I don't know. But, you know, I've never gone into a race planning to walk, but this one I am. I mean, that's how we've been training.
Well, that's definitely part of the sport, unless you're an elite. And yeah. I guess, in watching some of those movies that we watch of the guys that run these hundreds, I mean, they don't show them walking. Or do they? I guess they do.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to walk some. Firefighters. All right, so I know I have plans to go up and assist you. Are there rules about pacers, crew access, that sort of thing?
Well, the only thing I found was only allow one pacer at a time. And there's one aid station where you can't have a crew member. Can't do a pace pickup, I guess. So, and it looks like the longest stretches are about 8 miles between aid stations, but then there's like a 16-mile stretch where there's an aid station in between, but nobody has access.
Okay. Like your crew can't follow you up there.
So, I'm hoping you can do more, but that last 16-miler is going to be sometime in the middle of the night.
Yeah. We'll do what we need to do to help you. No doubt about that. You can take that to the bank. You can get Brian to go up there, too.
Yeah.
I recall a night back in March of some year, I can't remember, when we were down on Old Barrier Island in the middle of the night, trying to get to the finish. Was it a telephone pole? The telephone pole.
Yeah, that was a perfect finish. The sun was coming up.
Yeah, that was beautiful. You know, kind of hard to replicate that.
Yeah.
So you've made some plans in case of foul weather.
Yeah. I finally bought my first $100 jacket. Because I had to run in the rain a couple times during this training. It wasn't much fun without a jacket. The guy Ralph started raining the whole time last week.
When he was up there?
Yeah.
Now how about with feet and taking care of your feet? I know you're blessed with very strong feet, but in the 100K, did you have any foot issues that you think might linger for 100 miles?
No, you know, I try not to think about my feet, and it's worked so far. But I think in the 100 miles, I'm going to have to make a huge change. Dude, it's going to get so funky.
Yeah. Well, you feel fresh, too, when you...
Yeah.
Let's go left here and take it in.
So... Yeah, I'm trying to find a good pair of shoes. I'm not happy with any of my shoes. But...
Well, you only got about 20 pairs. I can't find one?
Yeah.
So are there any water crossings?
No. Actually, most people use the trail for biking.
Okay, so it's packed down.
Yeah. I think it's maybe like 62 miles of crushed gravel, cinder path. And I guess they have carriage rides out there and all kinds of stuff. So
you can run into other people doing it for doing stuff for recreation.
Yeah.
All right. So some other questions I wanted to ask you, because obviously when I'm running with you, you're not by yourself. So when you're running by yourself, what are you inspired by? What motivates you to do this mile after mile? Is it the finish line? Is it the experience? Give me a little insight on that.
Well, the training, I think the training is harder than the race. You know, if you can get through the training, and you did all the training, the race should be just a formality, right?
Yeah.
But, so that's what kind of motivates me, is I just say, you know, stick to the training plan, and then, you know, if you get to race day and it's hard or didn't go well, I think you can always look back at your training and say, well, I really didn't follow the plan or whatever. At least that's what I'm hoping. So, but the reason for doing 100 miles is, I think something I don't know if I can do.
Right.
You know? And once I do it, I think I'll be satisfied. You know? I mean, you could do certainly long races. People do double hundreds and all kinds of crazy stuff. But I think the 100 is kind of the ultimate.
I have to agree with you there.
I mean, if somebody said, I ran 100 miles, and somebody else said, I ran 200 miles, I think they command the same respect on that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Isn't it kind of funny how your frame of reference changes with distance? You got, is that Chris Colville? Hey, Chris. You know him?
Yeah.
Like when you do a half, marathon seems so far.
Yeah.
You do a marathon, you can't affect. I can't imagine going another 5 or 6 for a 50K. And then all of a sudden, the 50 miler, then that becomes a standard ultra for you.
Yeah.
And then you've done a handful of those. And then that 100 mile, well, 100K. So, is it like a spiritual thing? Or do you just kind of get inside your head and...
Huh,
we'll keep running.
I think I get inside my head more than, I think it's a good example to show my kids, though. I know. That's maybe one reason I do.
The determination part?
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's tough. You know, it's like races get tough, you can always get through it. You may have to walk and slow down.
Right. might have to slow down, but you can still keep going, right?
Yeah.
Huh. What a profound analogy.
And
your family's
the other thing about the 100 miles, a whole different strategy. I mean, even in my 50 miles, I had the intention of running most of it. But this one, I know I'm not going to be running. I mean, hopefully I'll run till the end. That's the goal. But that's the means to an end. I mean, you're going to have to conserve your energy all the way through, and not just at the end when you have to walk.
Right.
I like that strategy part. That's kind of a unique thing about 100.
How about family support? I mean, obviously with training, you're away from home a lot.
Yeah.
You got two kids.
Luckily, my girls are at the age that they're pretty self-sufficient.
Uh-huh.
And my wife has been wonderful about it. I mean, I think a couple weekends ago, we were down the beach and I had to run 20. She rented a bike and rode the whole thing with me. And then one, I think it was an 18 miler on a nasty day, she did the same thing around her house. It's just like
around the house?
Yeah, so I ran like three.
It might get a little tricky here.
Three loops.
Oh! Three loops around your neighborhood?
Yeah. 18 miles. And it was a nasty day. I mean, it was windy, raining, and she threw the whole thing.
Did you carry your supplies?
Not too much. I mean, I pretty much just carry a water bottle. And what I'm going to eat in my pocket.
Glad they finally paved all this. This has been real bumpy for a while.
I think they finally fixed that light.
Oh, that's good. Still trying to figure out why they have two green lights going forward here when there's only one lane. They got a turn. They got a turn signal lane. They got a turn signal for the turn lane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Typical Ashland engineering, right? Kind of how they place the sidewalks.
Another 20 years.
So the kids, let's see, your runners rubbed off to one of your kids. Or is it both? I know they swam. Done one run cross country?
Yeah, so my oldest one's got. I ran cross country a freshman and sophomore year. And then she's a swimmer too. So last year she said she was going to concentrate on swimming, which I think in turn actually burned her out. So she's promised me she'll run cross country senior year. And she's got some talent. She's, I mean, she really doesn't train a whole lot. Like, she swims more than she runs. And she still was close to 20 minutes on a pretty tough 5K course. So.
Wow. Well, we'll be finishing up here. A few miles. You got anything else to add before you become locally famous again?
You know, I couldn't do it without you and Brian. I know that. And my wife. There's no way I could do all the training. So, yeah, people that do that are way more mentally strong than me.
Yeah, you gotta be mentally tough, that's for sure. Sometimes that kind of goes in wavelengths, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you have to come up with a team name for this 100 miler for everybody that's gonna support you.
Yeah.
And Team Tom is too basic. Gotta have a gimmick. And then we can exploit that on the podcast.
All right.
All right, we just got a few more to go. Thanks, Tom.
All right, well, thanks a lot to Tom for talking during that interview and providing all that good information. Those miles really went by fast while we were talking, and it's really a good way to kill miles, just to have an ongoing conversation. And I always say, and we'll look back after we're finished with our runs on Saturday, say, man, that went by fast. So we always come up with something to talk about. But many thanks to Tom, and I wish him all the best with his training. I'll be along for part of it, but he's going to be doing a lot of it on his own. So let's get to the email bag section of the show. And we had some email, or one from, first time I heard from him at ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's how you get in touch with me. This is from Midlo Pete. He's a local runner just across the river, south of the river, as we say. And he is going to be doing the Keys 100. Well, he's going to be doing the 50 miler version of the Keys 100. And he asked me for some advice on that because he listened to the podcast and knew that I did it several years ago. So I gave him some advice that I remember. And he was asking about without a crew and whether using two handhelds for water is sufficient. And then ask if there's any other advice I would offer. And so I gave him quite a bit over email, but I went to their website, Pete, and I noticed that there are, I don't remember this being the case when I ran it, that there's fully stocked aid stations. There's 11 of them over the course of 100 miles, so I guess probably 5 or 6 over the course of the 50 miles, which isn't bad. I just don't remember there being full aid stations for individual runners because we had a supported, I ran it with a guy named Rodney. And our wives, we rented a car, and they supported us. We had all our support in a vehicle. I remember running past water stations, but not fully stocked aid stations. So it looks like that is the case this time around. And the website looks really good. They got a really a lot of colorful stuff for Florida. It's just a cool website. Check it out at keys100.com. But I wish you the best on that. I certainly would like to hear about it. I think that's the weekend of May 21st, if I'm not mistaken. So good to hear back from you. And the heat, it's running down in the Keys. It's kind of like having a hair dryer blowing right in your face. That's how hot the air is. And there's one section of the 50-mile section, where it's you run across a bridge for 7 miles, and you don't see any land at all. And so there's a lot of air blowing, but it's just really hot air. That's just what I remember. So I wish you the best on that. And thank you so much for listening to the show. It's always good to hear from you. I heard from Patrick out of Williamsburg, and he recently did the Richmond Ragnar Relay, which was at Pocahontas State Park. He said he just had a great time. It was his first trail race, but his 5th Ragnar Relay. And he's already signed up to do one in December in Florida. I'm kind of curious where that one is. I know it's not in the Keys because the Keys 100 has its own relay. He said he really liked the camaraderie that comes along with being part of a team. You know, old friends and new friends. Everybody kind of being connected by the task at hand, and everybody that gives it all that makes it a really unique event. And he had asked if I had used compression socks. He said he used them during the relay. His legs felt a little fresher. I have never tried those, Patrick, and some of my running friends do use those. And I guess I just don't, I don't know why I never have tried them. I guess because I can't get any tan on my legs if I got my lower legs covered all the time. I don't know. I'm not really sure why I haven't tried it. But I'm really glad that you had a good experience with it. I had a friend named Susan Spence that ran in that relay with the team. But I don't know what their team name was. But it sounds like you had a real good time. I'm glad to hear from you. Thanks for listening to the show. Also heard from Ryan up in Canada. He's a former member of Team Incognito. And he was telling me about a 150-kilometer race next year that is celebrating Canada's 150th anniversary. For some reason, I thought Canada had been around longer than that. Maybe not. It's called, I can't find what it's called. He sent me the link to the website, but I checked it out and I couldn't really tell exactly when it is. Maybe it's it might be May of next year. He says he's redoing his basement. So I'd certainly have a place to stay if I decided to go up there and run 93 miles in Canada. So I'll have to talk to my wife about that. Never run in Canada before, and I haven't been to Canada since I was 8 years old. When we lived up in Buffalo, we would go into Toronto every now and then. So, Ryan, good to hear from you, and I appreciate you still maintaining your listenership to the show, even though you are, I guess you're now a Canadian. From what I understand, I think I saw a picture posted somewhere that you got your citizenship. So, congratulations. I heard from Down Under Dave from New Zealand, and he is still struggling with his recovery from pneumonia, but he's back with running with his dog. He gets out for about an hour each day, and he had to cancel all his ultras this year, but he will definitely be back probably towards the end of the year. And if you heard me talk about Down Under Dave before, he has always got some crazy ass long distance things scheduled, and he is just a total beast. So we look forward to his comeback, and I'm sure he'll keep us all posted. And I look forward to hearing from him. Heard from Scott Johnson. He runs the Ultra Finishers podcast. He also has another podcast called The Computer Tutor, which is pretty good. It's about what he does for his business. He does two different podcasts, and they're totally separate from each other. They don't overlap at all. And I think that's kind of neat how he's able to make the separation. But he clued me into a podcast that he did that I have not listened to yet about a blind runner who did the Barkley Marathon. So I'll be very curious to listen to that and see how she did. Her name is Rhonda Marie Avery, and she's the first blonde runner ever to take on the Barkley. And he says there's a lot of cool aspects to the story. So if you want to go over to ultrafinishers.com and check out that podcast, I'm sure that would be probably pretty cool to listen to. I always thought it's really interesting, someone who's blind who chooses to do distance running. It's just got to be a totally different experience than any of us that have sight. I obviously can't even really imagine that. So Scott, I appreciate you still listening to the show. Scott's first ultra was actually the Save the Daylight 24. He has got a 100-miler coming up. I think it's the same thing. He's going to do... It was a 24-hour race last year. This year, they have a 48-hour option. So he's going to do that with the goal of reaching 100 miles. So my hat's off to you, Scott, because I know that your training down in Florida is just brutal all the time. The race he's doing is a 3.3-mile loop. He likes the idea of not having to worry about a cutoff time, and I like that too. I wonder what the conditions are of the trail. I'm just kind of curious. So that's Save the Daylight. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that's when the clocks get turned back, and that's that weekend in October. I think it's October when we switch the clocks back. So good luck to you, Scott, with your training on that. And if you want to reach me, you can send an email to ashlanddave@gmail.com. And I always read those, and I like to hear feedback from listeners, especially new listeners who find the show interesting, and just send me an email, tell me where you're from and kind of some of the stuff that you do, and I'll certainly share that on the podcast. And if you say anything in the email that you don't want me to share on the podcast, just make sure you make a note of that, and I'll honor that. So that's it for this episode of the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another brand new episode. And this is Ash and Dave reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, and don't forget to hug your kids. Y'all have a good week.